Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can be together, we can learn more about you, and that we can worship you. Just thank you so much for the truths in these songs, God. Just thank you for your providence over us and your love for us, that you sent your Son to die on the cross so that we could live with you forever, so that we can be a part of your kingdom, that we don't have to live with fear anymore. That when we die, we know where we're going, God. And I just pray that for each student in this room, that they know that, and each staff member, that they know those truths, God. I just pray that they know how loved they are. And as we go from here, I just pray that these words that we hear, that they pierce our hearts, God, and that we can leave changed and that we can live for your glory. Just thank you so much for your goodness and kindness for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen.
I want to take a few seconds just to introduce our speaker. He is a senior pastor at First Southern Baptist Church located in Hutchinson, Kansas. He is my pastor, my good friend, but more importantly, warriors, he is my favorite. I said favorite here, that's brownie points. Favorite father-in-law. Warriors, would you please help me welcome our preacher this morning, Dr. Roy J.
Thank you, brother. Love you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sterling College. You blessed me on September 23rd of last year in some ways you know not of, and you've already blessed me this morning. The way that you did that last year, you allowed God to bring a holy hush over this place the few moments that I spoke. And since I share God's word and they're not my words, that humbles me and that encourages me. So much last year that during lunch I told Jose and Jason and Scott and that bunch was attentive. Say listen. Just say the word, listen. Listen. The sermon is, will you listen? Will you listen? Roy, we did that last year. I know that. But we've got bigger goals this year. Will you listen at next week's chapel? Will you listen in the cafeteria tomorrow? Will you listen in the locker room this evening? Will you listen on the practice field next week? Will you listen in the gym next month? Will you listen on the mission trip during spring break? Will you listen for God? Will you listen for God? Why do we listen for God? He created us. I told you last year, He's the one that knows how to do life. You and I don't. We can't handle it. Most of us tried and it didn't work. We listen for God so that we can hear God, so that we can obey God. That's all we're focusing on during these moments together. In the 1730s, God used Jonathan Edwards, a colonial pastor in America, to bring the first great awakening, along with other people, in American history. Jonathan Edwards said, "Of the knowledge that we can ever obtain, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves are the most important." That's a reason to listen. How does God speak? He speaks by way of God the Holy Spirit. He uses the Bible. He uses other believers. He uses prayer. He uses circumstances. He certainly speaks. The issue is, will you listen? Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, bring a holy hush that we may listen, hear, and obey. Pastors, faculty members, students, each one of us, may we listen so that we may hear and so that we may obey for the glory of you and for the good of man. We ask this in Jesus' name. Really briefly, four more reasons. I just gave you one. Four reasons to listen for God throughout this school year, throughout your life. Listen for God. Reason number one, not everyone is a child of God. Your whole life, you've heard, we're all God's children. And when it comes to creation and being created in His image, absolute truth. When it comes spiritually and being a kingdom citizen and being a child of God spiritually, false. Not everyone here, not everyone at First Southern Baptist and Hutch, not everyone is a child of God. Look, at John 6:44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day." Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 10 to some very religious people, people who were more religious than me or any of you. And they're wondering during Jesus' earthly ministry, are you the anointed one? Are you the Messiah, the rescuer? Are you? And Jesus responds to them in John chapter 10, "But you do not believe, you don't recognize me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." All kinds of backgrounds here in this place. People who never was raised in church at all. People who have been raised in church. People who their parents prayed for them day after day. Some parents never prayed at all. So on and so forth. All different flavors. But remember this, and I've learned this through years of ministry. There are many, many people who think that church membership or morality or being baptized, or being a Catholic, or a Baptist, or a Methodist, or a good person means being a Christian. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Do you want to be a son or daughter of God? Do you want to know that you're a child of God? Do you want to know your sins are forgiven you and that you have eternal life forever and ever? Look at Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." You receive salvation, forgiveness of sin, eternal life. You receive it by faith here and here in this Jesus that you've heard about. His death on the cross, His blood given for you. You receive that by faith, and that is how you become a Christian. You receive the work that He did on the cross that you could never do. You receive His sinlessness that you and I can never do or achieve on our own. You receive it by faith. Then comes church. Then comes growth. Then comes baptism. Then comes reading Scripture. Then comes being part of a small group. Then comes going on mission trips. Then all these things fall in play. Roy, I'm unsure. Roy, I'm like you were when you were in college. I'm just unsure. I've got a little church. I've got religion. I've got some of this. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, you can know how to know. If God's Spirit is in you, you're born again. If God's Spirit bears witness to your spirit, you're a child of God. You're born again. Pastor, I don't understand. How can you know that? If sin, your sin, if it eats you up, if it offends you, God's Spirit is in you. God's Spirit is in you. You're born again. You'll have questions. You'll want to talk to Jose later on. Amen. Hallelujah. But you've got to listen, because the number one thing you want to listen for is God's call to salvation. You want to know. We're not all automatically, just because Jesus died doesn't mean all of us are going to heaven. You've got to go back to biblical truth and listen for the call. Here's another reason. You, Christian, talking to you, believer, talking to you, brother, sister, you're not becoming more like Christ. Some of you are. I've already seen it in your eyes. Oh, Roy, so judgmental. That's not what I mean. The Spirit of God is in you, and you can sense that when the Spirit of God is in you. You know it. Some of you are growing in the Lord. Some of you are becoming more like Christ. Okay, if you're a freshman in here today, raise your left hand. If you're a freshman, keep it up. If you're a freshman here today, raise your left hand. Okay, your other left hand. Some of you are struggling with that. They're freshmen, right? Okay? Y'all can laugh at that. I know I've been really serious, but you can laugh at that. But anyway, freshmen, listen to me. You want to be, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, you can put your hands down. Freshmen, if you are born again, you want to be more like Jesus when you're a senior and you leave this place. The biblical norm is for you to be more like Jesus, and that goes for sophomores and juniors and seniors and preachers and every one of us. We're to become more and more like Christ. That's why we want to listen for God. It's not my opinion. Look, 1 Peter chapter 1. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Why? Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Scripture tells us we're to pursue Christ-likeness, godliness, and holiness in our walk with Christ. Let me help motivate you a little bit on this journey that I'm still on myself. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I preached last Sunday out of Ephesians 6 to do with employees, employers, slaves, and masters. Christians, did you know this? Although you are free and the chains are gone, Christians, did you know this? You're a slave. You're an absolute slave and servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not own yourself. You do not own your life. He died for you. And when you committed to Him, He saved you. The Spirit of God regenerated your soul and made you alive. And now, as an elderly man that I buried a couple weeks ago who really got it, he realized his life was not his own. And everyone in his family and his neighborhood and community and church knew that Wayne lived a life that was not his own. It was the life of Christ. And that is why we want to listen and understand and listen for the voice of God. But here is great news. Each one of us as believers want to grow more like Christ. Why do you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? To know what Christ was like. God was like in the flesh on this earth, how He lived out all of these commands. And that's how you and I can know them. But here's the good news. He empowers you to do it. Notice out of 2 Peter, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything. Look at it. Pertaining to life and what? Godliness. Say godliness. Godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. I hope you're listening, and you are. That's great news. I just read Scripture from God's Word that promises you as a born-again believer, a Christ follower, God has given you all you need, His Spirit and His Word and prayer and, to grow more like Christ all the days of your life on this earth, preparing for what? For glory in Him forever and ever, and it's all for His glory. You need to listen so that you can hear and obey, because you and I are not becoming more like Christ as we should so often. Reason number three, God wants you to serve Him. Did you hear that? God wants you to move from being a consumer to being a contributor. Listen well. There is a huge crisis in the church in America. Across denominational lines, and I'm sure you've heard this before, there is a shortage on church leaders and ministers all flavors, all denominations, all kinds. There really is, and it is a shortage that is not getting better. One reason must be a few people are listening, and boy, some of it has to be on we preachers. Few preachers are preaching concerning the call to service. I would be embarrassed, and you can go ahead and embarrass me after our service and ask me, Roy, when was the last time that you preached concerning God calling people out, God calling Christians to make that shift from consumers to contributors to serving Him, volunteer ministry, vocational ministry, whatever? I'd be hard-pressed to remember, but you're hearing a little bit of it today. Why? I'm envious of you. I'm envious of each one of you. God has you here for such an hour as this. Christian, I hope you're listening. Because when God gives us much, He expects much. And God has ordained that you, as a brother or sister in Christ, would have the privilege to be here as He uses Jose in establishing this network with pastors and churches where it's almost unlimited the opportunities for you to serve as interns in different ways, volunteer and paid. You would be foolish not to listen if you're a Christian. You'd be foolish not to listen during this season while you're here at Sterling because of that very reason that I just mentioned. And it goes back to an obedience issue. Listen, hear, and obey. Anybody ever heard of the sin of omission? We talk about the sins of commission all the time, don't we? Porn, cussing, fighting, sleeping around, doing dope, whatever. We talk about sins of commission all the time. What about the sin of omission? What do you mean, Pastor? James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. In a group this size, I know I was born at night, but not last night. I know I'm not as dumb as I look. I know there's more than one of you that you're here at Sterling, and before you got here, God was already speaking to you concerning serving Him. You may be a pastor's kid and you want nothing to do with it. You may be a missionary's kid and you want nothing to do with it. Hate to tell you, that's not the issue. The issue is, what is God saying? And are you listening? And once you hear, will you obey? Notice what Paul told young Timothy. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Look at it. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. You need to listen because not everybody's a child of God. Will you listen is the question. This school year, in classes, in chapel, in Bible studies, in conversations, will you listen in prayer? Because you're not becoming Christian, you're not becoming as much like Christ as you need to be. Will you listen because He wants you to serve Him? He wants you to serve Him. Will you listen for that? Finally, lastly, here's a very important reason for you to make a commitment today to listen to God and to make a commitment that the answer is yes on the front side. There's the challenge. Did you catch it? It's one thing to listen. It's another to trust God to the point, okay, Father, whatever you speak to me, the answer's yes. Because every believer in this place knows it's an oxymoron to hear, no, Lord. No, Lord. It doesn't work that way. So will you listen, since you, as a brother or sister in Christ, you want to bring God glory. And when we say that, what do we mean? The Hebrew root for glory means weight. And it means to be weighty, to be heavy, to be weighty. It means that you, as a brother or sister in Christ, you want to live your life in such a way so submitted to him that everyone knows that God carries a huge weight in your life. God is hugely important to you. Before family, before education, before career, before anything, before church, God is the weightiest thing in your life. As a Christian, you inherently have that. It's called the Spirit of God in you. And so he's constantly working with you in that way so that God will receive glory. Some of us think, well, it has to be the greatest solo ever. It's got to be the biggest check written ever. It's got to be a move to Africa. It's got to be all these things. And yet, what did Jesus say in John 17:4 in his high priestly prayer? Notice what Jesus prayed to the Father. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. You simply listening as a brother or sister in Christ, and as the Lord speaks through His Word and through prayer and through circumstances and other believers, and this is confirmed in your spirit and your soul that this is what God wants you to do or what not to do, you're doing the work He's given you to do. You're bringing Him glory. You're pointing people towards Him to worship, to praise, to give Him credit, to give Him attention. We're doing that right now. We're doing that right now if you're listening. Why? Why listen? Psalm 115:1, it's our theme at First Southern this year. Psalm 115:1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your faithful love, because of your truth. Why is that our theme? Because as Christians, we exist to bring God glory, and that's it. We exist to bring God glory. Four reasons, just asking two commitments on your part. Not playing any games with you. Not playing any games at all. Pretty simple. Commitment number one, you'll raise your hand when I ask you if literally, and I'm not your witness, God is your witness. Don't play any games with God. He knows. He knows. If you're going to commit today to listen, I will listen to God. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're going to commit to saying yes, God, whatever I hear you, whatever I say, you're not going to hear Him say something that doesn't match up with Scripture, right? He's not going to tell you to go sin. He's not going to tell you to do this or do that. But when you know it's God, you know it. Scripturally, we know it's God, and we know what He says. And that's the only commitment I'm asking you to make today, before God and before one another. If you will listen, I agree to listen so that I can hear and obey, raise your hand and keep it up. If you don't do it. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you, hands down. Your theme for this year is unity. Can you imagine what the unity of this campus, faculty, students, and administration would look like if every believer just does what you just committed to? I will listen to God. I will listen for Him through prayer, through small group, through the Word of God, through Christian music, through all of these things. I will, through chapel. And when I hear, I will obey. That would bring unity beyond Jose's or anyone else's dream. I guarantee you. So thank you for making that commitment. What does it look like, Roy, as I close? It looks like this. In 1 Samuel, you've heard about Samuel. You've heard about how his mother, Hannah, never had a child, and she prayed and prayed and asked God for a child, and God finally gave her a child. She dedicated the little boy, Samuel, and I mean boy, took the boy to the temple and to serve God there with Eli. And some of you have heard this story, some of you haven't. They're asleep in the temple, just Eli and the little boy Samuel. And God is speaking to Samuel. He does speak to very young people, by the way. And He spoke to Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. Not once, not twice, but three times. Samuel awoke and went to Eli, thought it was the old priest, preacher saying Samuel. Finally, Eli discerned God is speaking to Samuel. And look at the response. of Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:10, then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. I've used that prayer in my own life, and I've used it with many people through vocational ministry as they sought God and what He was doing. That's a great prayer that I'm fixing to pray for you as believers. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. You're already saying, He's Lord, and you're the servant. You're saying, I'm listening, I'll hear, and I'll obey. Thank you. Thank you for listening. But keep on listening. Amen. Amen. Thank you, O God. Speak that we may hear. Help us to hear that we may obey. For your glory and our good, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And one more thing, I'm grateful for Jose. I'm kind of partial to him. Brother in Christ, son-in-law, but I just rejoice what God is doing here at Sterling College through Jose and you. Praise God. Thank you.